Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains creepy object-like monsters. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You're walking around your quiet neighborhood at night, and looking up at street lamps, you suddenly see one move. But it's not falling. No, it's a creature with a long, thin, gray body. And instead of a head, it has two large sirens. He's so excited. Killian, what is this creature?
Siren!
Oh my God.
Siren!
It's Siren Head. Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog.
Siren Man.
Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Before we begin today's story on Siren Head, I'll tell you who you have to thank for suggesting the story. It's our friend Anders.
Thank you, Anders!
I know, you're so excited. Killian has been very, very into Siren Head lately. Would you like to take a second to give a suggestion to our listeners for a YouTube channel they might like?
Jillian and Addie.
Jillian and Addie are two young ladies who make, they're not parodies. What, they're like,
they're 13 and 14.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Also 15.
They might be older now, but anyway. They make like skits about different types of monsters or like different horror movie characters, and they do a lot on Siren Head.
Papa Took.
They do.
You can call them creepypastas.
Yes, they do. Yeah, exactly. They do a bunch of creepypasta-esque skits, and they do a handful on Siren Head. And Killian very much so likes Siren Head, and that's how he learned who Siren Head was from Jillian and Addie, right?
Also from Monstrum.
And Monstrum, yes. So once again, we're suggesting Monstrum with Dr. Emily Zarka and Jillian and Addie on YouTube. It is not on YouTube Kids, so if your kids don't use regular YouTube, which Killian doesn't, which is why he watches Jillian and Addie with supervision. So just to give a heads up to the grown-ups. Yes? Ready?
You better watch your grown-ups. It's violent.
It's not that violent. It's funny. It's cute. It's a little creepy, but it's cute. All right.
Yeah, Siren, there's Slenderman, and Slenderman shows up in the dark out of nowhere.
I believe we are going to talk about Slenderman a little bit.
Yes!
And I believe we're also going to talk about Jeff the Killer.
Yes!
Okay, so just chill out. All right, so one more thank you to Anders.
Thank you, Anders!
So we've talked about the origins of the Loch Ness Monster, which goes all the way back to the year 565.
Also 1933.
That's right.
Yes. 1933 is when the picture came out, isn't it?
Yeah, first.
So, and we've spoken about Wendigos that have been part of Native American culture stories for even longer than that. So many of our cryptids and stories are rooted in history, but today, Killian, Siren Head is fairly new to the world of cryptids and things that go bump in the night. Siren Head first appeared in 2018, which is the year that Mommy graduated college.
And I was born.
Nope, that's not the year I graduated college.
You graduated college in 2012.
12. And I was born.
You were, yeah, okay, so, whoa, Mommy just
nope,
had it.
He was already born.
I know he was already born. I'm telling him he's wrong. I know he's wrong.
Okay.
I am right.
Mommy just had a full, like, mental breakdown about how old she is in her brain. All right, ready?
You're 39.
Listen, I'm not 39, you rude child. I'm 32. Don't make me older than I am.
Okay.
But listen,
okay, 29 lady.
You know why I thought that? Because I graduated high school in 2008. So I'm like, the next one with eight was 18. Killian, 2018, sorry, you were 2 years old.
Nice.
So Siren Head didn't even show up till you were two. So that's how new this is. Because you're seven now.
Yeah.
So like, that's how new this is. So Siren Head was first created in 2018 by Canadian artist Trevor Henderson. The first appearance of...
He was on Monstrum. He did a FaceTime with Emily's art.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the first appearance of Siren Head came up in a tweet by Trevor. Do you know what Twitter is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I messaged Jeff Kinney by that.
We did message Jeff Kinney on Twitter. Jeff Kinney is the creator of Die for Wimpy Kid.
Also...
And he did message you back. You're correct.
Yeah.
I knew you were about to say that. Trevor made the tweet, and it showed a picture of a green, grassy graveyard, a soft blue sky. You've seen the picture, I know. And a tall, humanoid-like creature standing still. Its body was slim and gray, with arms that hung low to the ground. And where a neck...
He's also on TikTok.
And where a neck and head should have been, there was instead... a pole with two speakers. Trevor's tweet read the following. She was on vacation with her husband and they were scoping out graveyards on the way, as you do, when she saw it. Rising out of the old cemetery, big as an old macabre telephone pole. Was this some kind of bizarre art piece the authorities hadn't gotten wise to yet? Even as she stepped out of the car, its megaphone on its head screeched to life. 9-18-1 Child, 17, remove, vial. A buzzing, doubled voice screech. Nope. Doubled voice screamed random words at her. At this point, it jerked into motion, striding down the hill towards her. And that was how Siren Head was born.
That's when her story ends, and that's when Siren Head started.
Yes. Before we dive deeper into Siren Head, I have to ask, do you know what creepypasta is? Has Dr. Emily Zarka talked about creepypasta?
Yeah, creepypasta is a video game and a movie.
Nope.
It's like Marble Hornets.
What the heck is that?
Marble Hornets is like something that is like, it's like a movie.
I'm going to just stop you right there. I think you missed, it's okay. I just think you misunderstood. So creepypasta... Let's just start. We're going to jump into the history of internet lingo. Daddy made mommy sound really cool with the word lingo. So a creepypasta is an internet horror story or a legend that writers and artists on the internet share and build stories and art with.
Also, something awful is with creepypasta.
Something awful. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
So creepypasta grew out of something called copypastas, where people on online forums like Reddit would take something that someone wrote, copy it, and make changes to it. Creepypastas are kind of the same thing, but just with copies of creepy stuff. So someone would take like a small bit of a story, and then a person would copy it and be like, all right, let me make it even creepier. And then it would turn into this big, crazy, long, creepy story that like hundreds of people kind of built on together.
Or also it would be like, it's also just like I said, like Marble Hornets.
Sure, I don't know what you're talking about, but I believe you.
It's a movie.
Gotcha. Sure, I believe you. So other notable creepypasta characters that the internet has given us are Slender Man, Jeff the Killer, and a direct shoot-off of them is SCP. SCP is a shorthand for Special Containment Procedures Foundation, a fictional organization that investigates, captures, and contains paranormal phenomena. SCP also stands for Secure, Contain, Protect, which is the organization's motto. Creepypastas are technically stories told in the first person and recount an event. A first person storytelling is like using the I voice. So something like this. I was a counselor at Camp Crystal Lake. One night I saw a man with a hockey mask and a machete rise out of the water. What story was that?
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah. So in a way... creepypasta is like modern folklore.
Wait, I have one.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead. I'm so excited to hear.
Hi, my name is Hi, my name is Jess. I used to have this good old family, but there was a lot of bullies, and it got too far of bullying. And then they burned my mouth off, they burned my eyelashes off, then that went too far. So I cut off my mouth, and now my name is Jeff the Killer.
Is that really the story of Jeff the Killer?
Give or take, yeah.
Bro, what? How do you know that?
Julian Addy.
I didn't know that. I've only heard you talk about Jeff the Killer. I have not heard you tell me the full story of Jeff the Killer. That's crazy. But you know what you did? That's exactly what you did. You told it in the first person and you created a creepypasta. So you basically just did it. Oh. So in a way, creepypastas are like modern. Oh, I already said that. Mm-mm-mm. So in a way, creepypastas are modern folklore. Creepypastas are shared stories on the internet that people read and develop new characters, new stories, and give creatures new and startlingly evil abilities, just like with folklore. So remember our boo hags of the Eastern Coast and how as stories of the boo hags were shared into the Appalachian Mountains, they got slightly different in their abilities and their names changed to haints. Do you remember that? It's the same, just on the internet. And now these stories of Siren Head are shared not just in a regional area, but across the entire world, because the internet literally reaches everywhere. So now that we've done our little spiel on modern folklore, we can get back into talking about Siren Head.
And we shared our own stories.
Yes, we did. So first things first, Siren Head is not real. It's fun to pretend that he is real and a great creature to tell stories about, but we're not going to encounter him in reality, or at least I hope we won't. So it's not like cryptids where it's like there's a potential that there's this animal that exists that we just haven't found yet. That's not what Siren Head is. Siren Head is a 100% made up story, just like so is Slender Man.
But Slender Man is.
No, Slender Man is also fake. That's what creepypastas are. They are fake stories they're kind of trying to make feel like they're real.
Well, Jeff.
Jeff the Killer is also not real.
But Jeff, like, he's like a person. He's like a noun.
He is a noun. Yeah, is what he's saying.
You can't take away the real. You can't take the
Sweetheart,
real ability.
Jeff the Killer is fake in the same way that like Pennywise is fake.
Same way like Captain Underpants is fake.
Was that you being Pennywise?
Yes.
It was good. It's like, it's the same way as that. So like, these are characters. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Same way that you know, Michael Myers is not real. He's played by an actor. It's kind of the same thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are a few iterations of Siren Head, but for the most part, it's nearly 40 feet tall, has an emaciated skeletal human-like body. Its arms are thin, veiny, and are nearly as long as he is. Siren Head's hands are large and bony and capable of crushing cars. Of course, where his neck should be, there is a gray, fleshy pole with cables and wires jutting out of his skin and plugging into his megaphone-like head. In some depictions of the creature...
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is going to be weird. Do you think that just Siren Head... This is a Killian fact. Do you think that just Siren Head just walks around with a cord? No. He actually just wired himself.
Oh, you're saying he's not like plugged into a wall?
Yeah. He's
yes,
like,
I see.
Yeah, if he was plugged into a wall...
He wouldn't be able to walk very far, would he?
Yeah.
That's a good fact. Because yeah. I don't think Daddy wrote about that. So that's a very good fact. Rock fact.
It's a rock fact.
We've been watching Over the Garden Wall. Okay. In some depictions of the creature, the mouth of the megaphones actually have teeth and long sticky tongues that stick out, smelling the air like a snake.
That's how he eats.
And guess what Siren Head is hungry for?
Humans.
Human flesh. Are you biting? What are you doing?
No, I was pretending to suck your blood.
Oh. Siren Head can stand still for months, waiting for an unsuspecting... I thought you were licking me for a second. Waiting for an unsuspecting victim to wander by. Sirenhead prefers to lurk in dark, deep forests, abandoned places, or in villages and towns that are far away from big cities. He hides in plain sight, pretending to be some sort of long-forgotten warning siren from the old war.
Or probably like a pole or something.
Exactly. Sirenhead is fast, and when encountered, chases his victims, running...
He's a very good rascal.
Yeah.
He's a rascal.
Running after them in a strange, glitchy, stop-motion kind of way. Think a massive Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas, jerking and chasing...
He is a nightmare.
He is a nightmare. Jerking and chasing after people in a dark forest. How do you think Sirenhead sounds when he talks?
Like this. 49, 10, 17, 39. A kid has been lost in Counter Bear Drive.
It's very, very good. That was a very good impression. He sometimes uses radio broadcasts, white noise, static, and even uses the voices of his victims. That's pretty creepy.
Because then you'll think he's your friend. Like, your friend is calling for you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's creepy. So we have a tall, gaunt, creepy, siren-headed monster that can hide in unpopulated areas, call out creepy radio signal sounds, and then reach out and gobble up unsuspecting victims. You ready for a story? Blah, blah, blah.
14, 24, 79,
39. Okay, stop. You ready for a story?
Yes.
Daddy tried his hand at writing a creepypasta, so you'll have to let him know at the end if you liked it or not. All right, you ready? This creepypasta is called We Barely Escaped Sirenhead. Ready? I wasn't happy. My best friend Mike, Judy, and I spent the whole day exploring an abandoned warehouse down near the river. We were told by some of the high schoolers that there was an unlocked gate that led into the side entrance of the warehouse. Once you were inside the gates, you had free rein of the area. We were warned to get out of there before dark because that was when the security lights kicked on, and some of the high schoolers said that they had heard radio static playing, so they figured the guards came back and watched over the space at night. Mike, Judy, and I had explored plenty of abandoned places in the past, and we always had a few rules. Don't break anything, just take pictures and video, don't split up, and no matter what, everything you go in with, you come out with. We spent the day filming the massive warehouse. A large faded blue sign hung askew on the old brick wall, and it read, Tall Stature Wires, Cables and Audio Equipment. The building was as big as an airplane hangar. Each step echoed as we looked giant spools of cables bigger than a truck. Conveyor belts with speakers still on them, covered in dust, like the factory workers were still planning on returning from lunch to continue their work. And of course, offices filled with half-shredded documents, ashes in trash cans from things being burned. Those offices were where Mike had left his dad's brand new GoPro, and that's why I was unhappy. That's why we were heading back into the warehouse. Just as the sun sank below the river and the security lamps woke up, casting a dim yellow glow on everything. Our flashlights shined bright white light cutting through the dimly lit space. We stepped into the middle of the main warehouse, caught between the mountain of cable spools and the conveyor belt. Then we heard it. Breaker, 2, 7, clear, clear, clear. The voice towered above us, loud, crackly, and uneven. We ducked into one of the large spools of cables and shut our lights off. Our hearts were pounding in our chests. We couldn't get caught. Our parents would ground us until we were 30. Something inside the warehouse buckled, and the whole building began to shake. The sound of screws being ripped out of metal screeched into our eardrums. Dust started falling from the rafters, and it made it look like it was snowing. Mike and Judy, panic on their faces, asked if the building was caving in. I leaned around the giant spool to take a look, and I stopped breathing. there, 40 feet from us in the middle of the warehouse, stood this tall creature. Its body was thin and gray, its arms long, ending in thick wired fingers. And where its head should have been, there were two sirens. It was picking up the massive spools like they weighed nothing. The siren head swiveled and searched the area where the spools had been lifted. What was it searching for? Was it looking for us? Come out! I need your help. Mike's voice echoed out from the creature's speaker heads. I turned to look at Mike sitting silently right behind me, his face pale as a ghost. Judy peeked around the corner of the spools and saw the same thing. It was silently moving closer to where our spool was, lifting up spool after spool and searching. Now that it was closer, we could hear the soft, static sound of a local radio station. It was playing a distorted pop song. In order to get to the door, we'd have to cross right in front of the creature and then over the conveyor belt, and then it was 20 feet to the exit doors. The siren blared from overhead. Don't hide from wake me up before you go me. It was now or never. The three of us leapt up from our hiding spot and charged for the conveyor belt. The creature was lifting its heads and looking right at us. Mike, Judy, and I leapt over the conveyor belt just in time as the monster threw a spool of cables at the spot where we had just been. It smashed into the concrete floor, sending cables spiraling and splintering wood shards blasting. Pieces of metal and chunks of wood rained down, slicing into the backs of our necks and shoulders. Landing hard on the other side of the conveyor belt, we picked ourselves up and started to race towards the exit doors. The creature lifted one long leg and stepped over the conveyor belt and it was right there with us. Don't go. 10, 23, 10. Stay, play, feed me, hungry. The voice boomed from above us. We reached the door just in time as the creature's hand closed in on us. We threw the doors open and burst out into the night air. Warm and fresh, the creature's hand extended out the door, grasping hungrily for us. It shrieked random words and phrases at us as we ran all the way home. We left that creature in the warehouse that night. Months later, we heard that the building was demolished to make way for some riverside development. We never really spoke much about that night. We felt like if we talked about it, we'd summon that thing or something. About a year later, my mom told me we were moving. She said we were going to some new apartments that had been built down by the river. It wasn't until our moving truck stopped in front of the apartments that I realized where we were, where I had come back to. Behind our new apartments was a tall set of trees, and in them, I saw a pair of looming gray loudspeakers.
The end. What was the creepy pasta?
That was it. That was the story.
No, Daddy, what was the creepy pasta you made up?
That was it.
The creepy
pasta. Daddy made that story up.
The creepy pasta's a story.
Oh.
Yeah, that was it. Daddy made that up.
Oh.
What did you think?
I loved it.
He had to move back to the apartments where the siren head was.
So he had to move into the warehouse?
Well, they tore down the warehouse and made apartments there. And the siren head still hanging out in the forest behind it. Yeek. He fainted, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm super funny.
Okay, come here. So what did you think about Siren Head?
I think he's so cool.
He's cool. What do you think about creepypastas in general? Like the idea that how people back, hundreds of years ago developed folklore by telling it to people like verbally around campfires and stuff. But now we get our folklore from people typing on the internet. What do you think about that?
It's cool.
You think it's kind of cool?
Yeah.
As a child who's never known a life without the internet, I imagine it would seem very cool. So you like creepypastas?
Yeah, I need the internet to survive.
You don't need the internet to survive, but it does make things much easier.
Yep, way easier.
Especially because we have no cable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And
well,
you don't have to pound on the TV for it to.
No, we don't have to pound on the TV to make it work. Yes, that's true. We don't have antennas. All right. Mm-hmm. So tell me before we go, what was the scariest thing about Siren Head?
He tried to crush people. He
tries to crush people. That's pretty. That is pretty scary. All right.
Because he said he crushes cars.
That's true. All right. One last thank you to Anders for the suggestion.
Also, whatever ability he has, I know everything about Siren Head.
You have watched that episode of Monstrum a bunch of times.
Yeah, so if Siren Head has that ability, he will use it. He will use any ability he has.
Right. Okay, one more thank you to Anders.
Thank you, Anders!
All right. Thank you for listening. I am Killian.
I'm Karina.
And this has been...
The Cryptic Catalog.
Until next time, remember.
The croakers are croaking.
The cryptids are watching. Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beamesturfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beamesturfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grownups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.